Yes. Yep. Father, we thank you. We thank you that the prayer requests come to each of us many times during the week, that we're aware of people who have needs. And we thank you that you have equipped each and every one of us to be able to be ready in season and out of season. And today we're here together to bring needs before your throne of grace. And we thank you already for the prayer of healing for Lola. And we add our faith with Bill's and others who have prayed for this woman. And our prayer today is a prayer of thanksgiving, because the prayer has been prayed for healing. The healing is manifesting. And so we're just humbled to say thank you. It is done. And it is a great joy to know that. And so we thank you. We also thank you for taking care of the rest of the shipping costs for the container. And even before another one is prepared, we thank you that you've been prepared since before the foundation of the world, and that you've got it covered. So we thank you today for these precious things that mean everything to those who receive. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And another testimony is that I got a phone to enter the 21st century finally, and the first call I got on it came from India, and it was the couple that met on the airplane and discussed my going back to India with them, and I shared that with you. And I was waiting for them to get clearance from their ministry board about the dates that I had selected, and that's what the phone call was about. The dates are confirmed. I'm leaving September 12th and returning on the 27th, and I will be spending a week in the Hyderabad area with this couple, and meetings. Oh, they're going back on September 6th to be there a week before me, and schedule a couple formal meetings, and the rest will be being in the villages and praying for the sick where there's no doctors or clinics. Like the other place in India that I go, take a day flight down to Bangalore and spend a week with Pastor Sherard. And to bring an update, I had mentioned about my heart's desire was to buy him and his wife a new bed, mattress. And some people have begun to respond to that need. And I really thank you. I will let you know when that amount is reached. And so if the Lord leads you to help in any other way towards that trip, that's great. I've purchased the tickets, made my flight reservations with a stop in London to see our friends Ian and Jill, and look forward to that trip. And so that's an update there as a testimony of waiting on the Lord. It didn't seem like anything fell into place, just trying to go and see Sherard. It came a different way. And so it's going to work out. And I really thank the Lord how he cares about missions. He cares about those who support missions. He cares about all of us, because we're all in this together and we share each other's joy when God is doing some really neat stuff in our lives. Would you just put your hand up and receive as we all pray for you? Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you do have a heart that is so filled with a passionate compassion for the needs of people. And I just thank you for Peggy's heart. I thank you that her desire has always been to be a vessel, to show your unconditional love and compassion for others. And when someone intrudes upon that space, it does hurt. So I thank you today that these words that she has spoken has begun the freeing up process within her own spirit. and her heart will be lightened today as we release your favor to her and your compassion for her personally, that you would lift her up today and bring comfort, bring healing, bring release, bring freedom, restore her joy. We love her joy, Lord, and just give her more today. She just needs a little bit more. It'll be fine. And we just thank you for how your Holy Spirit will restore peace, and there won't be animosity or hurt feelings. We're all a team. We all work together in your kingdom for the one common goal of bringing the presence of Christ into every situation. And I just thank you today for her effectiveness, her boldness, but her childlike faith to share these personal things with us as a body, but as a family. And I thank you, Father. This indeed is a precious place where we can just come together, and whatever the needs are, whatever the issues are that are going on, we know that there is a safe place that we can come together and share them and pray for one another and believe you for the way you work everything out. In Jesus' name, amen. We are indeed a very diverse group, and can you imagine the Holy Spirit has so knit our hearts together? I mean, look at all the different backgrounds that we represent, and yet he's made us such a oneness together. It's precious. And we had a visitor stop by this morning that had been robbed of all of her money, and she's trying to get home. And you just never know. And this was early, about 9 o'clock. We were just getting ready to have our pre-session before you all come of praise and worship. And it's just nice that when people go by, we're like a light on the highway. All these cars that pass by, they represent people with all kinds of needs, but one stopped in this morning for an opportunity to help and for prayer for her journey south. And I'm just thankful for all of you. And you never know how you affect another person's life, or even as a body, when a person comes here. And I've asked Sue if she would read something that was sent to me about a visitor that's been here several times. And this is her perspective, and I'd really like you to hear it, because we had a preview of this at our Wednesday night Bible study. I felt it was really important, and it's important for all of you as well, because you are part of this body, and your presence here makes a difference, not only in our lives, but in people that come through those doors that we may not know and may never see again. But so, Sue, would you read that, please?
Sure. This is from Marcy, from her.
That speaks volumes. And we, as we grow and mature, we know that we don't always, I mean, like Lorraine's incident at where she works, that not everybody always speaks kindly of us individually, or maybe even as a body. But it's precious, because we know well enough not to let it go to our heads, but just to be thankful that God does have a plan and a purpose for us being here, and we do make a difference. And which brings me to our opening scripture today, from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. And after those words, you kind of can see Paul's heart as a man used of the Lord to father a church, one of seven. And he wrote these words to the Thessalonican church that was going under horrendous persecution and were experiencing extreme personal difficulties and hardships in their lives, and also when they came together not knowing how the enemy might launch warfare against them. But Paul always was used of the Lord to bring words of comfort, correction, and hope. But his heart was the love of the Father. And these, he penned these words to the church at Thessalonica, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Those two qualities that he saw within that congregation, in spite of all the turmoil, all the trouble, all the persecution, all the resistance, of being believers gathered in a place that was so hellish and filled with demonic worship, the occult and all mythology, battling the philosophies of men, and for them to be called out and to stand as individuals but also together as a body and fight the good fight of faith. There were two qualities that the Lord pointed out to Paul that I see here. Your faith grows exceedingly. Look at the testimonies every week. I just like coming and being an MC almost, because we're growing to that point where God is using each of you that are willing to be used, and we want to make every opportunity for that to happen. You have to be free to speak the things that God has put in your heart. And the faith that you've released, the faith in your work, the faith in everyday living, and you come together and we share those things together. Those are great treasures that make you who you are, but also as a body when people come. These are some things that they see. Is you're growing, and that's precious. And also the love that you have for one another. So you can't fake that. It's real. And when I brag on you all the time that I am probably the most blessed pastor in this whole area, because I can go to bed and sleep at night knowing who you are, where you are in your walk, and I'm just so proud of you. You do make a difference.
We're blessed. We are blessed.
This morning has been the beginning of the rest of your lives. Think on that. All the days and months and years of life left in us in this life. Today is the beginning of that process, however many are left for any of us. And it's important to think of it in the context of what's left, Lord, for me to do? What's left to be accomplished in my life? What will my legacy be? What will I be known for? What footprints will I leave in my life? Usually I save those comments for funerals, because we're talking about someone who's already left a legacy, someone who's already left footprints. But each one of us already have, and we're still living. And each life can turn one step at a time to the left or to the right, forward or backward. But no matter where we go, we leave footprints, we leave evidence, we leave tracks that people can look at your life in your workplaces, your families, your church body. But a scripture that came to me this morning, it's totally off the wall compared to where I thought we might end up, but we're not there yet. But it's so strong with all that's happened already this morning, that I feel it's appropriate to have a look at it and see if perhaps you can make that same connection from where we started this morning to where we are now. And when we leave in a little bit, and I know that many of you perhaps will be doing something really special with your families this afternoon, either for Mother's Day or in honor of your mom. Some of our moms have gone on to be with the Lord, and they're in a very good place. But a lot of moms have broken hearts today, and not just among us, but among us in a larger group. There are many that are raising children on their own and struggling and doing the best they know how to do. They don't have a dad in the family. And so I want you to be thinking about them as well today. How difficult it is. It's difficult for two people to raise the children, but think what a single mom is doing, or even a single dad. But we as believers, we always know that the answer is Christ, and that He will make a difference in people's lives if He's given the opportunity. And along those lines, this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2 is very relevant. And I want you to also think about, as we read these, be thinking about maybe a friend or two of yours that's maybe were once walking close with the Lord, and for whatever reason the enemy got a foothold and began to drag them away, separate them, isolate them, and they're just kind of floundering around out there, what we would call quote unquote backslidden condition, maybe a fallen away. Well, what's our part? And I really believe that it's here, starting in verse 24 through 26. And a servant of the Lord must not strive, be quarrelsome, looking to argue or contend. Just because we know the truth doesn't mean that we have to be forceful with people who may not share the same faith values as we do, at least not at this point. And the last person that wants to hear the gospel is the person that's in a backslidden condition most of the time, because their heart is in rebellion with the Father. So we've got to be really follow this and really pay heed. Must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And before we go any further, I want to go back up to these words. Be gentle. Gentleness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. But I can't speak for all men. I can speak for many men. Gentleness is a quality of the Spirit that many men squash down to the bottom of the list. And in order to get their way, they tend to raise their voice and get louder and more forceful, and little by little, and sometimes with rapid acceleration, like your pedals to the metal, gentleness has gone out the window with men. And I've seen this over and over and over and over. Where is the gentleness of the Spirit? Well, what about kindness? What about those qualities that are just as much a fruit or evidence of God's indwelling presence? It's the love and the joy and the peace and the long-suffering. Gentleness is huge. Gentleness opens doors that you will never open any other way. You can't elbow your way into somebody's life. You can't do that. It won't work. You repel, you oppose the very people that you're trying to gain favor with. Gentleness will go a long ways. And I suggest today that if that's your issue, work on it this week. Learn to be gentle. And I've seen some hot mamas that can get out of control too. So, you know, you ain't going to get off that lightly. I know it's Mother's Day, but nobody's escaping. Gentleness is the way that God uses to reach a person's heart. It's really important. And the servant of the Lord. If you think about Paul's writing this word servant as a bond servant, meaning we don't have any rights anymore. We belong to the Lord. He bought and paid for us with his blood. We have privileges, but we don't have rights. We don't have the right to go crashing and busting into people's lives and agitating and poking and provoking to stir up trouble when it's not necessary to do that. We alienate people that we're trying to win to Christ, or even to give them an avenue of reconciliation, if you will. This is really, really big. Be gentle unto all men, not just the ones that we get along with, not just the believers. So, you know, this is part of our learning to walk pleasing unto the Lord. Remember, we started that and we talked about selfies a couple weeks ago. This is the next. It's all connected, but if we break it in segments, it's easier to digest. It's easier spiritually to grasp onto as another thing that the Holy Spirit wants to work into our lives, and if it's already there, he wants to nurture that. There are many people yet that we're going to encounter that we're going to need gentleness. And then, on top of that, it says in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. In meekness, instructing. In the way we teach, the way we present, the way we offer the truths that the gospel has. Do we do it in meekness or we do it in superiority? Because a lot of the complaints that I've heard from unbelievers says that we come across many times in our zeal for the Lord is that we're better than everybody else. And people turn us off. They shut us down. And in a time right now when people are so fragile and they're offended at nothing, I'm offended, they're offended kind of deal, you know? And they're very fragile, they're very broken, and there's a lot of things happening in the life of a non-believer. And meekness and gentleness is a side of the Holy Spirit that people really long to see. And you have that on the inside of you. We all do as believers. And even Paul talked about having a word in season or out of season, not just when you feel like it. But be ready for people who ask of the hope that is within you. Those scriptures are connected too, and they just keep coming as I'm speaking. I didn't practice this on anyone yet today, so no, bear with me, but they're connected in how we reach people, how our lives will intertwine by divine appointment, and what impact will we make. And hopefully it will be for the best. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Rebellion is a hard spirit to deal with in a person when they're rebellious and in opposition to the Lord. Been there, done that. So have you, if you'd just be really honest and remember the days, maybe even before you were saved, that you weren't really all that keen on embracing a believer that was in your face with a big grin every morning when you get up and you just wanted to be ugly. No? But gentleness and meekness, esteeming others more highly than ourselves. Didn't we just read that a couple weeks ago? Paul didn't change his message. The Holy Spirit didn't change just because he went to a church in another town. The message always stayed the same. He didn't preach to itching ears because these are hard words. They're hard in the sense of they're contrary to the natural human nature part of us. But we are not natural human nature anymore. We are naturally supernatural. We have the ability to walk with the Holy Spirit inside of us to lead us and guide us into these things because our flesh would rebel against the very thought of being gentle to somebody that's just raked you over the coals or roughed your feathers a little bit. That's not the time you feel the most gentle and meek. Right, Peggy?
Right.
I knew I could get somebody here that knows where I'm coming from. And so, to bring a person to repentance, to come to realize Most people already know when they've turned their back or walked away or in a funk or whatever you want to call it. They don't need us to come along and just poke fire in their face. But just to be available. Just sometimes you don't even, maybe not even have to speak all that much sometimes, but just that the person knows that you care to be with them, to sit with them, to walk with them, to pray with them. Just to bring the presence of Christ, because that's what we really are after, to bring His presence into the situation so that the Spirit can begin to break down those barriers that the person, God hasn't put the opposition between the person and Himself. The enemy has, and the person has cooperated in letting that take place. So we, on the other hand, can be a buffer zone, if you will. To be a buffer zone means you get whacked from both sides sometimes, but it's okay. You know? Did you ever see how the Food Channel, how they tenderize a good piece of meat? They take out that little wooden thing, that little mallet, and they just keep whacking it. Well, see, we're not playing whack-a-mole. Okay? We're that just makes you hard-headed. But when... Wow, how am I going to say this? Maybe I won't. That'd probably be the best thing. Tenderized, yes. Let the Spirit tenderize you, and let the hardness of hearts of other people coming against you tenderize your heart. And it's an amazing thing when they've done all their beating and all their pounding and they're gasping for a breath to take another whack at you. And you're just standing there, quietly, bring it on. When you're all done, and you speak with that gentle quietness, not out of provocation. And I'll tell you, that takes practice, that takes dying, that takes crucifying the flesh, because with every amount of energy and strength in you, it's just natural to want to get back. And this is hard, that's why, but God has called us to live our faith openly and out in the public arena. And these are some of the things that we have to start incorporating in our faith walk to make that difference, to be that light, to be that witness. That's different. The Bible calls us peculiar people. So, if He says that's who we are, then that's how we're perceived. And they... coming down to acknowledging the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. His will, the devil's, and the person, because the person has to cooperate too. So, and then in chapter 3, he begins to talk about the perilous times, the riotous, rebellious times that mankind has slipped into. He tells us what we're coming into, but he tells us how to deal with it. Don't just keep looking up to the sky for the great escape. Until the Lord comes back, we're in it to win it. And these are some of the ways that are very key, very important, that go right against the grain of our nature, the old nature. It's going to take practice. It's going to take work. But I'll tell you, it's worth it. How much is a soul worth to you? So I'll just leave you with that thought today. In all of your labors of love and all of your efforts, what is one soul worth to you? And next week, we'll carry on. But I want to leave you with that today. And as we close, I know there's one person who asked for prayer to be anointed with oil, but as always... yes, Simone.
I just wanted to tell you that I'll bring the bottles for CareNet next week.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I knew that was happening, and I didn't know if you might have brought them today, but we have plenty of time. God will fill our bottles quicker. Amen? Good, because our hearts He's filled good today. Anybody want prayer this morning? Please come up. Take a step of faith, maybe two or three.